Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Well, Joan, as we start today's programme, we're looking back at the Pope's visit to Pavia and Vigevano. We're looking forward to the 43rd World Day of Prayer for Vocations on Sunday, and we're also looking forward to the Pope's visit to Brazil.
He's got a big agenda. As you said, in the past days have been busy, and the future looks like it's really a very, very big agenda for the Holy Father. And kind of in looking at the week's news as I prepare to print some of the news out to have with me review the highlights of the week just passed, it's very interesting to note with Benedict to look at his agenda before any trip he takes, especially a longer trip. It's very similar to what John Paul II did. He kind of filled his calendar with appointments, meetings, audiences, speeches, homilies, whatever, before a trip. As if, okay, let's tie up these loose odds and ends so I don't have to worry about anything when I'm, you know, in Pavia or I'm in Brazil or whatever. And so it's been that kind of a week just passed. And before he went to Vigevano, for example, the Friday before, he left on Saturday and spent Saturday night and Sunday in these two northern Italian dioceses. But, I mean, he met with the Sri Lankan president before he left. He met with quite a number of Tuscan bishops and with members of the Papal Foundation. And he was a very, very busy person the day before he left for Pavia. But this was a wonderful trip to the north. The whole theme of it, if you want to say that the Pope had a theme, it really was the defense of life and the defense of the traditional family in his various meetings with people, his homilies.
Which, of course, is looking forward to the theme of his trip to Brazil, isn't it?
Exactly.
The family.
Exactly. And we're going to hear a lot more in Brazil of what we heard over the weekend. Well, Vigevano, you know, was the only diocese in the Lombardy region of Italy that Pope John Paul had not visited. And so that was the first thing that the Pope told them. He said he was very happy to start his pastoral pilgrimage in Vigevano because it was the only one not visited by his predecessor.
And one thing about his time in Pavia, because I did the commentary on the Mass on Sunday morning, he spoke so beautifully about St. Augustine and Augustine's own search for truth.
You could sense in the Holy Father's words exactly how much this saint did mean to him and this doctor of the Church.
I always think, when we talk about St. Augustine, it always makes me think of Ostia Antica, which for our listeners is not far outside Rome, and that's where Augustine and his mother Monica actually stayed. And inside Rome, at the Porta San Paolo, in the little museum there, you've actually got a segment of Monica's tombstone there.
And Ostia, of course, we should mention, is also a seaport. Was a very, very important one at one time. Is now much more of a beach location, summer home location, than it is a huge, bustling seaport. But interestingly enough, I can remember being told when I was little that St. Monica, because Augustine was such a difficult child, apparently, that all Monica did was like spend her life in prayer, that her son would turn around and be a good boy and be a good man. And so mothers who have difficult children or sons in particular are supposed to pray to St. Monica. But no, the Pope's visit was a mixture of things, very colorful, very happy. You could tell the Holy Father was delighted to be there. He got a roaring welcome in both dioceses, and he also got a rousing welcome when he spoke about the traditional families. And he talked about when he in Vigevano, he said families are the fundamental element of social life. And he said, only by working in favor of families can the fabric of the ecclesial community and civil society be renewed. And at the end of these remarks, and normally people don't interrupt with applause in the middle of a homily, but they did, and this was Saturday, and at the end of the applause, the Pope just looked at them and he said, in off-the-cuff remarks, of course, "I see we are in agreement." But Jovino's really kind of has been called by many the shoe capital of Italy. Obviously, the Italians are known for their leather goods, first and foremost, I would say shoes, maybe in purses together. In any event, a consortium of shoemakers in Vigevano gave the Holy Father 15,001 pair of shoes. The one pair was for him. They were red leather shoes made out of, I have forgotten the skin right at this moment. In any event, he got 15,000 pair for the needy. And as soon as the Vatican has lets them know, maybe they've already done it, these shoes, men, women's, children's, all kinds, boots, shoes, whatever, they will be sent to the needy. So I thought that was a great
very
little...
Very practical.
Yes, a wonderful gift. Mm. The Holy Father's very concerned that any gifts given to him can be used by others. Or if you're going to make a donation, make it to a papal charity, to Cor Unum, to the Elemosineria. But he isn't concerned about getting flowers and cakes and other things like that for events for himself. As you said, Sunday then, of course, was dedicated to St. Augustine. He was in Pavia. He was overnighted in Pavia. Sunday was dedicated to St. Augustine. He visited his tomb. And he said, as a matter of fact, that his visit to Pavia was a pilgrimage to venerate the remains of St. Augustine, to show his personal devotion and gratitude to this saint for the large part he played in my life. Of course, Augustine was born in 354 in what's modern-day Algeria. And by the way, he's the patron of theologians, and he died in 430.
Well, Augustine had an amazing influence on the whole of the church, and when you think how early it was in the history of the church that he was actually born, lived, and died.
Sure,
you're quite a lasting
4th century,
effect.
The early part of the 5th century. So,
but there's been another writer, in a sense, that has been in the news this week insofar as the Pope himself wrote a letter to Chancellor Angela Merkel.
Yes, he did. This was revealed. It's actually a December 2006 letter, and her response to the Holy Father dates from February of this year. But the Vatican Monday released the text of letters between the two, and I mean, they're both German, naturally, concerning the agenda of the June meeting in Germany of the G8, which, of course, is the 7 leading economic powers plus Russia. And the Chancellor had announced in July 2006 that under her presidency, the G8 would continue to keep the question of global poverty on the agenda, and in particular, aid to Africa would be a key priority at the summit, which will take place in Heiligendamm. And so the Holy Father said in his letter, he noted a fact that the German presidency of the G8 coincides with the presidency of the European Union. And he says this is a unique opportunity to tackle this issue of poverty, and welcomed the fact that poverty is high on the agenda of the G8, and said it should be given the highest attention and priority for the sake of rich and poor countries alike. And what I thought was interesting, he said the two of them had met, the Chancellor and the Pope had met last August, and he said, "You assured me that Germany shares the Holy See's concern regarding the inability," I love the choice of that word, "regarding the inability of rich countries to offer the poorest countries financial and trade conditions that would, of course, help their economies." And I think that's an extremely diplomatic word to say their inability, because it certainly is not financial inability. They have the wherewithal.
It's all political will.
It's political will. It's the desire to help. You've got the wherewithal, and you do or you don't use it for the right reasons. So the Pope did mention that the active participation of international partners, by that, of course, he means the rich nations who can help, it's indispensable, and he called it actually a grave and unconditional moral responsibility, founded on the unity of the human race and the common dignity and shared destiny of rich and poor alike. So a very important exchange of ideas. And in just kind of checking the international press, the content of those letters was given a lot of attention. So that's a very good thing to note that, unlike some Vatican things which kind of can pass unnoticed, this was given a lot of attention in the press, and that's a good thing.
And please God, people will act on it.
Indeed.
Of course.
We have one other important...
Definitely.
Before we close, I think we might want to mention that the Holy Father this week met with Mahmoud Abbas, president of the Palestinian Authority, for a 15-minute private encounter. And, of course, there was a statement from the press office that said the talks were cordial. Naturally, a particular appreciation on the part of the Vatican was expressed for the commitment to relaunch the peace process between Israelis and Palestinians. And the Pope and Abbas also talked about the internal Palestinian situation with reference to particular difficulties faced by Christians and in particular by Catholics. And of course, the Pope in his Easter message, and that wasn't that long ago, spoke of what he called signs of hope in the Middle East, in the peace process between the Israelis and the Palestinians. So we shall see if that works out. Now, Abbas, he's also known as Abu Mazen. He also met with Cardinal Secretary of State. And interestingly enough, he heads this unity government that's formed by the Fatah movement, his own party, the militant Hamas, and then by independence. And he's trying to garner support for his government, and Abbas, therefore, is traveling all around Europe. So a potentially very important meeting, certainly for Abbas and the Palestinians, if he relays the Holy Father's message to the leaders in the Middle East.
So, next week.
On that note.
You've been listening to Joan Lewis. To find out more about Joan or to ask her a question, please visit our website at vaticanradio.org.